big problem that we have, our major concern now, is with the youths, really, like job opportunities. Our youths are part of the massive, you know, crowds trying to reach Europe, and most of them perish on the way. So that is, you know, a very difficult issue or problem to deal with at family level, at society and national level. So it's not an easy thing for even the church also to handle, and because the opportunities are not there, and so there is that sense of frustration among the youth, and so this is like a desperate attempt to find a better and more comfortable form of living and lifestyle, you know, in other parts of the world. It doesn't always work in that way.
And would most families have experience of somebody in their family trying to, you know, have a go to get to Europe?
Yeah, many have. And some are lucky to make it across, others have not. And sometimes even their families that don't know the fate of their loved ones, they just live in hope and say, well, perhaps he has made it and he's yet to settle, that's why we didn't hear from him or her. But in some cases, the person must have died, you know, unfortunately. So you have those kind of very painful and bitter experiences. Sometimes news comes back to a particular family that this person, you know, died on the way. It's among those who perish in the boat. So it's very devastating.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even for yourself to get a visa to come here was difficult.
Yeah, it's just the way the process is. And it takes a long time, you know, even after you submit all the documents required, as in my case, the first time, there was some bit of problem until I eventually was lucky to get one. I don't know what it is really that is complicating the visa process now and why it is not so easy, you know, to issue visas, especially to somebody who holds an office and you know exactly that this person is not the same as the migrants trying to come to Europe to settle or to make a living. But unfortunately, that's the world we are in, you know, it's not the same again as before. So maybe that's why you have these stringent measures now in issuing visas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a fortress Europe almost, fortress mentality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like when people take off on these journeys to come to Europe, how do they go about doing it? Do they pay somebody?
Intermediators. They call them the traffickers and so forth. There's a whole network involved. You know, they go through that arrangement from the Gambia through the desert, through Libya, and there again, you know, somebody who was in touch with them makes this arrangement, perilous, you know, journey for them to cross. And sometimes they get stuck when they get in there. Either the person has gone away with their money or wants additional money which they don't have. So it becomes difficult. But they spend a lot. All the little savings they have go into this with the hope that, you know, they will recover it. But in most cases, it doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
I mean, you know, I suppose, do people not realize the gamble? Because surely they'll have heard stories of other people who, as you say, went and then suddenly they were asked for more money en route or, you know, something like that happened.
Yeah, it's difficult to understand why this is still ongoing, you know, even though they hear stories, but I believe it just tells you how desperate they are and the risk or length at which they are ready to go. It's all based on hope that, well, I may be lucky, I may be different, or in my case, it may be different. So that is what is still, you know, driving them. So you can see that at that point, they are really not looking at the issue as you and I will look at it, you know. They hear these stories quite all right, but they think there's still some chance, or maybe it will be different with them. Otherwise, really, who in his or her normal sense, you know, would want to take this risk, especially seeing what has happened to those who have gone before them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose they must hear positive stories too, I mean, to make them think it's worth the gamble.
Mm-hmm. It's true. As I said, there are some who make it, but majority don't. And the few who make it, sometimes also they are not helpful. they don't present the accurate picture, you know, what they have to go through to reach the other side, or even when they are on the other side, what they are doing and how long it has taken them to be where they are. Sometimes, you know, just they give a false or colorful picture about how things are, and an innocent person hearing that will just be so naive and accept it to be the reality. Mm-hmm. But then he comes to realize later on that that's not the case. So, yes, I agree with you. Sometimes also those who make it may not present, you know, a true and accurate picture of the difficulties that they themselves have to go through.
I mean, you know, the Irish used to have that a little bit over in London. I mean, there was a lot of Irish living in London who were living homeless, but they would be telling their family back home that they were doing great because there was a kind of a shame in it,
yeah,
you know.
I know. Yeah, it's a similar experience, yeah, that has happened in the past, you know. What somebody is doing abroad, nobody knows. But when he shows up in 5 years' time, you know, he comes looking so good or creating that impression that she is well settled. Meanwhile, it's not the case. So that doesn't help. It doesn't help the individual and doesn't help also those who are at home, you know, looking beyond.
Now that you're in the position that you're in, you know, what are your hopes for the Gambia?
Well, I have high hopes for the diocese and the Catholic Church in the Gambia. It's a small country and also the only diocese in the country. We are a minority, but that notwithstanding, there's still a lot that can be done in the Gambia in the area of pastoral ministry, in the area of education, in the area of interreligious or ecumenical dialogue, in the health sector, and also in social development. And if we are able to have the resources with time, you know, the Diocese of the Gambia will become, you know, a very vibrant and a very strong local church. But for now, we have inadequate resources, financial resources, in order to build the structures necessary, you know, to consolidate the mission and presence of the church in the Gambia. We need more church buildings and rectories. They are communities that have grown over the years and are now ready to be created into parishes. That is one. We also need to build our capacity, financial capacity as well. And that also requires building structures like stores, office space, multipurpose centers or halls for youth and also for just other social functions and activities. If we can get like something like a printing press, if we can get like a well-established and well-furnished clinic, it will help, because the health sector is really limited in the Gambia. Most people go across to Senegal for treatment. So that's another area that the Catholic Church can really contribute a lot towards the health of the public and also Gambians as a whole. There is also the need to train our personnel, priests, religious, and lay faithful, so that they will be able to administer some of these positions and some of these areas that, you know, are very vital for the church and also for the society. Those are the needs, the urgent needs and priorities that I have, but, you know, you cannot do everything at once. You can only do what is within your limits and within your capacity.